Was highway hypnosis behind Sunday's deadly derailment of a Metro North commuter train? That's the explanation being given by the attorney for the engineer, William Rockefeller, who was operating the train. He says Rockefeller experienced a nod just before the speeding train hurtled off the rails at a sharp turn in the Bronx. Here to discuss the nod and the science of sleeping is Dr. Charles Seisler. He's a sleep researcher at Harvard's Division of Sleep Medicine and chief of sleep medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He was part of a recent report on the subject. Welcome to WNYC, Dr. Seisler.
Thank you very much.
Rockefeller's lawyer says the engineer told him he was dazed in the moments before the accident. When you hear that, what does it sound like to you? And as a sleep researcher, what might have happened?
Well, we use various euphemisms to describe these kinds of incidents: zoned out, loss of focus, loss of consciousness, highway hypnosis. Sometimes truck drivers call it white line fever. And these kind of evoke mystical or magical notions, but we in the sleep field really like to call a spade, and that is, to many of us, the most obvious is a sleep attack. 2 million Americans admit to nodding off and falling asleep every week at the wheel while they're driving on the nation's highways.
Does it happen when you're driving? Is there something about the white line? Or I'm just wondering how prevalent is it as something that happens when you're behind the wheel versus at your desk or doing any other activity?
It can happen while you're listening to a lecture. It can happen while you see politicians nodding off all the time when other politicians are speaking. These kinds of sleep attacks occur when we're struggling to stay awake, but the brain seizes control and involuntarily initiates a transition from wakefulness to sleep. Generally, we're stable in one state or another, but when sleep pressure gets high enough, that's when these attacks can occur involuntarily.
Is it connected to sleep apnea? The National Transportation Safety Board said Rockefeller was working a normal 9-hour workday and would have had plenty of time for restorative sleep, but that doesn't mean he necessarily got it.
Well, it doesn't mean he necessarily got it. Furthermore, he was, the train started at 5 in the morning. He probably had to get there at least a half an hour, 45 minutes beforehand. He lived in Germantown and had to go to Poughkeepsie, so that maybe took an hour or so. So we're talking about getting up at around 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 2:30 in the morning, which is the middle of the night. So to get an adequate amount of sleep before that is trying to sleep earlier than we usually sleep.
Right, 8:30.
And it's difficult to fall asleep at that time because the internal clock in the brain sends the strongest drive for waking late in the evening. Mm-hmm. And ironically and paradoxically, that's when it is takes us the longest time to fall asleep. And the strongest drive for sleep coming from this internal clock is actually very close to our wake time, very close to the time of this crash. So when we're not getting enough sleep, either because of our schedule, and I understand that this particular driver, what I've read in the media is that he just switched from a regular night shift to now a middle-of-the-night shift, that can throw off whatever coping mechanisms he had for trying to adjust to the schedule. In addition, it's very common for people in this kind of occupation in the transportation industry to suffer from obstructive sleep apnea, where they don't get the restorative sleep that they need when they are in bed and might be waking up dozens, if not hundreds of times per night.
Why does it appear to be connected to their occupation?
Well, it's very common in the transportation industry, for example, something close to between 85 and 90% of truck drivers are overweight or obese. And when people gain weight, it increases the risk of sleep apnea. We have surveyed police officers in the United States, and we find that about a third of them are screened positive for obstructive sleep apnea. It's a very common condition.
Very briefly, Dr. Seisler, any specific ways to make sure people in positions like being a train engineer, that they don't fall asleep on the job?
We need to implement comprehensive fatigue management programs within all safety-sensitive industries. I mean, it's not a surprise that one out of three accidents, mainline train collisions in the United States, the Department of Transportation has classified as probably fatigue-related. And so, we need to develop both education programs, programs aimed at the work schedule, as well as screening for sleep disorders.
Dr. Charles Seisler is a sleep researcher at Harvard's Division of Sleep Medicine and Chief of Sleep Medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Thank you so much.
Thank you.